so amazing. You guys are amazing. All right, we're going to read the scripture. This is one of my favorite passages. It's a really long passage. It's out of John 3. We have to read the whole scripture because you have to hear the whole interaction. So I'm going to read it at John, last part of chapter 2. So chapter 3, it's famous, Jesus interacting with Nicodemus. Now, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them because he knew all people. He did not need any testimony about mankind, for he knew what was in each person. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know your teacher has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you're doing if God were not for him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they're old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Then Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everybody who's born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You're Israel's teacher," Jesus said, "and you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify of what we've seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I've spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, and that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be plainly seen that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." This is the word of the Lord. All right, Pastor Jim. Not Pastor Joe, Pastor Jim, come on up. Yeah, we're going to go do this.
Thank you, Joseph. Thank you, Joseph. Always grateful. Always grateful for this character, but also just grateful so much for God's word. Several things are true as we open this study, which is going to lead us to rightly receiving the Lord's table, the elements of Jesus' body and blood given for us. Several things. One is, this is, as some of us will know, the third in a series of addressing John chapter 3, the story of Jesus and Nicodemus. Many would sense, whether it's shared in little good news tracts that talk about four spiritual laws or steps to peace with God, the central place of John 3:16, "God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever," and in the, out of the Greek it's called whoever, right? "Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And whether that's in a little piece of paper, whether that's in the end zone of an NFL game, right? Because I've seen that too. Maybe you have as well. It's still good, not just good news, it's God's news. So that really is the focus behind which Pastor Adam asked that we would look at John chapter 3 for three successive Sundays. I'll leave it to you to figure out whether the third time is the charm. All right. Behind the wonderful things that Brother Elliot has taught, and I've listened to his. We were away at the time, but listened on the net, and that's available at our website. Pastor Harry last week. May not be the charm this morning, but it is the third Sunday, and it's Advent. And so what a wonderful privilege it is to have this begin our movements into the Advent season. It's also the case that when we think about the reading of Scripture, we have an illustration here at La Jolla Fellowship on this corner of how traditions begin. Okay, now we talked earlier about how the traditional date of Christmas, at least in the Roman Catholic and the Protestant churches, December 25th. The Orthodox do the 12 days of Christmas, and they include January 6th. So that's kind of where it comes from. So they get to celebrate twice. Wonderful chat with an Orthodox person yesterday. We reviewed some of those things. She's just over from the Ukraine and seemed startled that someone would have an idea that Eastern Orthodoxy exists, let alone has this wonderful celebration. But it's true. So in any case, with that, what we find is that as we come into the season, traditional date is December 25th, going all the way back to the 4th century, as we've said. But we're forming our own little traditions here, too. For example, after the reading of Scripture, and Pastor Joe did it this morning, he said, "This is the word of the Lord." And for some of us, that's like, yeah, it is, but why are you saying that? And for others of us, it's very familiar because we are such a gathering here from various traditions, various stories. And it may be familiar, for example, from earlier places of worship in your life. This is the word of the Lord. And the people, we people, are invited to say, "Thanks be to God." Now, that's been part of the pattern for many, many centuries. It's also the case that on a morning like this, both because it is the reading of the gospel, and also because it is a reading of God's word in anticipation of the Lord's table, that the church classically has moved from, "This is the word of the Lord, thanks be to God," over to a different word. And the word is the gospel of our Lord, and the response of the people is, "Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ." The gospel of our Lord, praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So that's been classic. Nobody said we had to say this is the word of the Lord here. And it's not like Pastor Adam, you know, had a tattoo or sent us all a message or something. This is how it's going to be. It's just kind of grown up here over several years. That's how it works. Traditio means things that are handed on. They are passed as gifts from one to another in the best sense. So what we want to do then is underline this morning the sense that this is the gospel of the Lord, and we say praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, as we enter in. Now, this morning, because we have the Lord's table coming, and we don't want to do that for 3.5 minutes. Amen? We want to focus on why Jesus came. We want to focus on the gift, the best gift of all. Right? And so with that, I'm going to be observant here, and I'm going to shorten this a bit, but you've got notes in your worship folder. I hope that these notes, as several of you will say, "Oh, a worship folder," we'll look at the notes and utilize these in some way as the Lord leads to enter into your own Advent celebration. All right? So we have heard this text, a number of us, 3 weeks in a row. And that doesn't make it stale. It just means some good things need to be massaged in. Isn't that right? And so may the Lord massage into us this good news that quickens our hearts. Pastor Harry last week said that news like this for us gives both a light and a lens. It gives a light, as Jesus is the light of the world, that reveals to us what really is. And what it means to live well and wisely now and forever, a light. But God also gives us a lens. Several of us, I'm going to put on my grandpa glasses here. I'm going to follow CP in wearing some glasses, all right? So there we go. Hey, you're Leslie. So in any case, with that, wants to simply walk into this passage here. Follow me in the notes, if you will, all right? And because this is La Jolla Fellowship, some of you won't follow the notes at all. God bless you. Some of you won't find your notes later. God bless you. Many of you will. God bless you. Some of you will spill coffee on your notes. God bless you. But may these notes serve to be in some way a help as we enter into the Word. We have just celebrated Thanksgiving, and Adventus, as has been said, is the coming of our Lord. And all four of the Gospels declare the greatest story ever told. And part of the beginning of John's Gospel is what we have sequentially is a variety of signs. Signs that many responded to with newborn faith. In John's Gospel, the first of those was turning water into wine at a Cana of Galilee. I've done 100 and some weddings over the years. It's been a great joy. A great joy. Still in touch with so many of those people. And in that, we have delighted many, many times that the first of Jesus' miracles was at a wedding, that he chose to go and to do that. And that stunned people. John's Gospel has, many would say, 7 different signs early on that point to specifically what Jesus was about, what he was doing, and bringing the power of God into transforming situations and lives. So then he goes into the temple in Jerusalem and he cleanses the temple. Notice something carefully, if you would, here this morning, that Jesus doesn't say, tear it down. Jesus doesn't say, mow it down. Jesus doesn't say, off with their heads. Jesus basically redeems. He cleanses the temple. And so many good things in life get messed over. And then somebody might come along, we might be tempted to come along and say, well, I'm done with it. I'm going to trash it. Right? I've got a relationship that's really on the skids. And the answer is, I got to get out of this, period. I'm out of here. But otherwise, the Lord might say, have you thought of redeeming it? Have you thought of my grace changing it? Have you thought of cleansing it? Our motivations in terms of our work ethic and so forth. Some people say, the job's become my master, my God, my Lord, my little idol. Well, the answer may not be to quit. The answer may be to live your job differently. So with that in mind, there are stories behind everything that will be said this morning, but we're keeping it succinct. So with that, just to say, Jesus redeemed the temple for its proper use. So we've got a great opportunity to do that during this season as well in each area of our lives. What does it mean to refit, to cleanse, to air out, to refresh, to redecorate, whatever it might be, so that this might find its proper use in my life? Jesus knew that humanity was a mixed bag. Can I see your hand if you know you are a mixed bag this morning? A couple of you are in denial. Bless you. Molly is studying marriage and family therapy over at Bethel. She will help you if you need to get past your denial to actual steps in life. Right, Molly? Amen. Okay. Raise your hand. Good. Okay. So with that in mind, simply to say, Jesus knew, the scriptures tell us, that people were a mixed bag. So he loved them, he cherished them, he extended hospitality to them, to us, but he said, I'm not going to be drawn in to the latest tale, the latest excuse, the latest game. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to be straight and full of grace and truth, even if other people are full of something else. So, with that, Jesus did his ministry. Isn't he great? Don't you love our Lord in terms of his character and the way he chose to live out that character among questionable people around and about him? Jesus proclaimed God's love and life. Now, Nicodemus came in a wary manner, very careful manner, at night. And the coming face to face revealed Jesus to this seeker as a savior. When I was a kid, I got my first Bible at the age of 7. And my initial impression of Nicodemus was he was a chicken. He was a coward. He had a stripe up his back. Why would he come to Jesus at night? You know, what a piece of work. And yet, that kind of caution, that kind of awareness, that kind of fumbling approach at times is not unique to Nicodemus. I keep praying the Lord will straighten my steps and lift my heart during this season. So Nicodemus informs our Advent reflections here, but also those who came before him, because there are those who are a procession. Look at your notes, if you would, please. And I just want to call attention to this, if we may, that there are early voices in John's Gospel declaring who Jesus is. There are the Apostle John, says in chapter 1, verses 1 to 14, that Jesus is the glorious Logos of God, the Word of God, or if you like philosophy, that's my major at San Diego State, all right? If you like philosophy, the Logos was the invisible principle that held all things together. That's Greek philosophy. That's what the ancient world inherited as a thought. So when he said Jesus is the Word of God, is it about communication? Yeah, but it's about the one who holds all things together. If you're taking notes, Colossians 1 says the same thing. All things are made by him, all things are made for him, and in him all things hold together. So in a world that so often is flying apart, in him things can hold together. That he is the one who draws it together. And so John talks about the Logos, the Word of God incarnate. Here comes John the Baptist. What does he call Jesus? The only begotten, the Lamb, the Son of God. Here comes Andrew and his friends. They use yet different terminology. Jesus, you're a rabbi. You're a teacher. You're the proper minister of the good news that reaches all the way back into Old Testament times and reaches us today. Andrew and his friends. He is the rabbi. He is the Messiah. Philip comes. And Philip's got yet another way of describing Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. Hey, this is Joseph's son. This guy grew up in the hood. But yet, he is so different. And the very fact that he identifies with this, he's the carpenter's son, shows that he understands what it is to walk in our flip-flops, but also is able to bring this uniqueness of heaven and good news to us. He's the fulfillment of Moses' prophecy. This says God is a promise keeper, that God keeps his promises. Isn't that good news any day? That's the proclamation of Philip. Here comes Nathanael. Nathanael shouts out, "You're the rabbi, the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. You're the one who properly should rule and should reign in our lives." And what a challenge it was to help those who were Jesus' earliest followers sense that the kingdom of God was not just about overthrowing the nasty Romans. It was about the reign of God in all areas of life. You can change a regime or an administration, but it won't necessarily change hearts. So as a result, this sense of the reign of God, or as we could say it here, in this gathering, let every heart prepare him room. And in that, heaven and nature sing, and we hear that change. We hear that renewal taking place. All these different titles. His mother Mary at the wedding, in chapter 2, verse 5, directs the servants very simply, do whatever he tells you. Some years ago, I had a wonderful weekend. I'll say this briefly. Wonderful weekend. Our oldest son and I went out to the East Coast, and we went on a Saturday afternoon to an Eastern Orthodox celebration. One of the great historians, wonderful guy, Kalistos Ware is his name, W-A-R-E, former Oxford professor, and he is the Eastern Orthodox, he's the word, Kalistos Timothy Ware, and so we went to a retreat. The next morning we got up, and we went to a totally rip-it-up African-American Baptist service. One of my friends in D.C. was doing that. And they just had awesome electricity in the air for the Lord. And then in the afternoon, we went over to the Shrine of the Immaculate Conception. Talk about a trifecta, right? Went over to the Shrine of the Immaculate Conception, that beautiful Catholic cathedral in D.C. And beneath, anybody been there to that shrine? Yeah, one of us, a couple of us, yeah. And at the Shrine of the Immaculate Conception, you go in, and there's a main sanctuary, and that was actually the weekend that the Pope had passed on. So it was really a very touching service in other ways. It wasn't about the Pope, but it was mentioned that he delighted in his deepest and best sense to be a servant of God. But it was about our Lord. So beneath the sanctuary, there are little chapels underneath. And because it's the Immaculate Conception, we can talk about that theologically if you wish at another point. But here we are about Mary. So I thought all these chapels, and there was one called Mary Mother of Mission underneath there. So I thought, wonder what that chapel's like, Mary Mother of Mission. So I went down there, and at the opening entrance of that little chapel, there was an inscription, and it says, "Do whatever he tells you." Isn't that awesome? Do whatever he tells you. That's pretty simple. It ain't always easy, but that's what we need grace for. That's what we need God's favor for. That's what we need, my favorite definition of grace, beauty in motion. That's still a good definition of graceful, isn't it? Beauty in motion. That's true to the ancient language. I want to see God's beauty in motion in this situation, where it could turn into nothing other than lameness. That's what I want to see. Lord, that's my prayer. That's my step in this opportunity. So, with that, Mary, Mother of Mission, if you will, do whatever he tells you. True to Scripture and true to life. Why do we put this in here? Because my heart's desire, part of it, just as a brother in the Lord, is that we would rediscover in this season some of the titles of Jesus, some of the ways in which people saw him. We're not all going to value each of these equally, isn't that right? Some of us might love the teacher. Others of us might just love the shepherd. Some of us might love the Word of God, the cosmic Christ who holds all this together. Heavens come to earth. Isn't that awesome? There are all kinds of ways. There's a book, William Barclay, Jesus as They Saw Him. I want to invite you even to take a look at that. But will you think of the titles of Jesus, the names of Jesus, the way in which embedded early in this gospel, as the old carol goes, some children see him in this way or that way or another way. We, so childlike in so many ways, are free to see in these titles ways in which many different lights and perspectives reveal the fullness of our Lord. So call out if you would. We're going to take 1 minute. What is your favorite title for Jesus? Anybody, just call it out. Would you? What is it? Almighty? Thank you. Another. Wonderful. Savior. Prince of Peace. Lord of Lords. Magnificent Savior. Any more? I'm sorry? Eternal Father. Good Shepherd. Redeemer. Morning Star. You got the idea? Let's let this shine. Let's celebrate this. This is a blossoming of how we can engage and celebrate our Lord Jesus in this Advent. Let these titles jump out at us. Somebody will say, hey, wait a minute, that wasn't a full minute. I know, but you got the idea. All right? So there are these early voices, but there are also early moments, you see in your notes. There are early moments indicating Jesus' approach. What's the classic invitation to Philip when he sees him in chapter 1, verse 43? Jesus says to him, what do you want? What are you really looking for? What's at the heart of your hunger and thirst? What is it you're really after? How come you came out to see me? What a beautiful invitation that Jesus gives to Philip. And Philip basically goes, bidia, 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 because it's not entirely focused. There's a little snippet there of an expression. And then Jesus says, well, to Philip's inquiry, where do you live? I mean, well, you got a home address? You got a P.O. box, website? I mean, what do you got? Jesus says, come and see. That's his invitation to us in this season. Come and see. He says to us the question, as he did to Philip, what do you really want? What are you after? What do you long for? What's at the center of your heart's desire? Delight yourself in the Lord, the Old Testament prophet says, and he will give you the desire of your hearts. So, what do you desire? What are you after? And Jesus said, come and see. Track with me. Abide in me. Make your home with me. Pitch your tent with me. Drive your car with me. Buy a few gifts with me. And the great reward in that is Jesus' approach. He's able to rebuke the temple dealers, the people that are turning the Father's house into a marketplace. I want to say, I thank the Lord that in this place that Pastor Adam repeatedly has said, we are not turning this into a marketplace. Right? This is not going to be primarily media extravaganza. This is not going to be a hot hook out there. This is not going to, what it's going to be is a church in which we seek to be full of God's goodness and to realize Jesus Christ as the center. I'm so grateful for that. Jesus showed hospitality to Nicodemus in chapter 3, to the Samaritan woman in chapter 4, to the invalid at the pool of Bethesda in chapter 5. Look at his approach, please. He lovingly works. He lovingly works with those who are role-conflicted, baggage-laden, culturally stereotyped people. That sounds familiar to many of us, does it not? He works with all these, with love. And whether he's hearing confession or confusion, he goes beyond the transactional to the relational. It's not just spiritually, let's make a deal, Jesus says. Sign off here and you're cool and you're in. Jesus says, I want a relationship with you. So he invites that relationship. And so starting where Jesus is and where the people are, there is this calling out to heart and soul and mind. I mentioned during the voices declaring who Jesus is, many with his glory revealed across the ages have sung, I saw the sign. Now, anybody know that song? I check with Jeff upstairs. Jeff, you raise your hand up in the bleachers. Yep, there you are. Oh yeah, I'm so grateful, man, for your techno phenomena. It's just amazing what you do. Anybody know that song? Ace of Base? I saw the sign, and it opened up my eyes. I saw the sign. Life is demanding without understanding. I saw the sign, and it opened up my eyes. I saw the sign. Nobody gonna drag you up till you get into the light where you belong. But where do you belong? Okay. I saw the sign. Oh, I'm sorry. So, you get the idea. You know, I prayed the Lord would bring the passage to life. You don't have to leave. It's all right. But he had a word of knowledge. I'm getting the heck out. So, anyway. Lord answers prayer in a lot of ways. I'm looking at this text earlier. I said, Lord, help me to picture this text. And out of the ozone came, I saw the sign. Right? They could have all sung that, couldn't they? I saw the sign. I saw Jesus in action. There was something amazing happened to me. I saw the sign. It opened up my eyes. Life is demanding without understanding. Right? I saw the sign. It opened up my eyes. I saw the sign. Nobody gonna drag you up to get into the light where you belong. It's gotta be the Lord. Where do you belong? Where do you belong? Jesus said, make your home in me. People sometimes ask, what do you believe as a Christian? I believe Jesus was right. I utilized that again this past week in sharing the faith with a dear person. I believe Jesus was right. How about you? You believe that? I mean, what a simple statement of faith. And then the rest of my life, I want to keep discovering ways in which he's so right. So right in his teaching, so right for my needs, so right for time and eternity. So right. I saw the sign. And they all could have sung that. I couldn't find a good tape, I told Jeff, of people who looked like they were sane singing the song. Ace of Base, you know, a little off the, you know, and so forth. And there were a bunch of people who looked like they were being electrocuted. And, you know, not good. So anyway, but I want to share this, if I may. Some of you know Ace of Base, and the three out of the four people were the Berggren family. And if you want something inspiring, guess what? Jenny Berggren, who is a lead singer of Ace of Base, Jenny Berggren recorded a song, you can find it on YouTube, called Give Me Faith. She saw the sign. She came to Christ. Others may have, but Jenny has been out in front in that. And her lyrics, give me faith that moves the mountains, mountains of sorrow and despair. Take me through journeys of redemption. Lord, make this broken angel sing. She saw the sign. Jenny Berggren. So, with that, let's see the signs of God's goodness around us. Last night I was sharing the faith with someone who's a professed atheist. I've known them for years. For the first time, they said, first time They said, I don't believe that yet, but I had a vision. It was a vision of my sister. I closed my eyes, I blinked, I turned away, I looked back. She had died a while ago. What could that mean? I said, I'm not here to interpret it well, but I'll tell you this. God's got a message for you. This isn't just about the material world. This is about realities that last forever. Right? A sign. With that, what we find then is Jesus repeatedly invites individuals to come. And starting where Nick at Night really is, Jesus calls out to his heart and his mind and his soul. How will you believe? Nick says, how? Jesus says, let me ask you, how, if you're kind of hung up on your questions and don't move forward, will you believe in heavenly things? And he presents eternal life to him. Does Nick respond? Yes. Early fruitfulness in Nicodemus' life. As the curtain drops on Jesus' scene with him in chapter 3, he's going to pop up again. Jesus closes with the words to Nicodemus, whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. Start where you are and grow. Start where you are and grow. Whether you're already by faith, part of the family of God, saying, yeah, I believe Jesus was right. I want to grow in that. Or whether for the first time, as you come to this table, you're saying, I didn't walk in these doors as someone who loved Jesus, someone who said thank you, someone who believed he was right. But I want to take that step today. What better time than Advent in a world especially such as our own? Lord, help me. Receive me. Start where we are and grow. And so Nicodemus pops up later, defending Jesus. Later on, this you see in the reference here, chapter 7, the same one that says we need to be born of water and the Spirit. That is, we need to be born by the Holy Spirit of God when we say, yes, I receive you. I receive your gift of forgiveness. And also the waters of the Holy Spirit come in. And in our own stories, often that's confirmed by baptism later on. And so with that, we meet him there defending Jesus. And in John chapter 19, who shows up publicly to bear the shame of this executed criminal, Jesus, enemy of the state because he said Caesar doesn't have the last word. It belongs to God. That's a criminal offense in the Roman Empire. Caesar had a very fragile ego. So who is it that helps bury him? It's Nicodemus. And so there he is again. It has grown. He has believed. He has come. And in that, then, at the close, responding to Jesus' grace and truth, Nicodemus found faith and eternal life. In Latin, the term sacramentum, where we get the word sacrament, often applied to this table, the Lord's Supper. Some call it an ordinance because Jesus ordained, declared that it should be celebrated until he comes again or until we go to him, right? So ordinance, yeah. But sacramentum, original meaning in Latin was a vow of loyalty. So as we come to this sacrament this morning, we, not unlike the people that are described in these gospel passages, we want to renew, we want to declare our vow of loyalty to the Lord today. I want to live Advent as a child of God. I am no longer a slave to fear. I'm a child of God. We want to do that, this invitation here, as we come to the Lord's table. One last thing. You know, I appreciate so much receiving a name tag at the door. Somebody asked, why'd you put it on your tie? It's because it doesn't stick to the shirt. The material of this shirt is not found in nature. I have no idea what this is. You know, but nothing, you know, none of these tags stick to it. They just peel off and go, you know, and that's it. And so, but I put it on the tie. It's red. It's the Christmas season, Advent. You get the idea. But why did you wear this tie? This is my brother Ed's tie. I'm not going for a religious Oscar up here. You understand? I'm just telling you, I thought Harry was so Gucci last week, I had to dress up, you know, and make it happen. But when I told him that, he goes, ah, you. So anyway, but this is my brother Ed's tie. My brother graduated. He's 13 years older than me. He passed on into heavenly places this time 4 years ago. And I'm wearing this tie because I will see him again. I will see my brother again in the presence of our Lord. And that makes all the difference. So, I'm renewing my sacramentum this morning, my vow of loyalty. Whatever else is going on, I want to follow Jesus. Welcome. Let's ask those who are serving the Lord's Supper to come forward.